Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Talking about chicken a la king, mango and garbanzo tabbouleh, real potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil, zucchini ziti, granola fruit bar. Look at all this beautiful food.
Welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, where I interview amazing people with amazing minds, but all I care about is what is in their fridge. Although I don't know how amazing this guest's mind is anymore. He's had a lot of concussions, okay? We've got a former professional NHL athlete and Olympian. He played for the Edmonton Oilers, San Jose Sharks, Florida Panthers, Arizona Coyotes, and the Dallas Stars. Please welcome my good friend, Jason Demers.
Dan, so happy to be on. And how are you doing today?
I am doing very, very well. You know, a lot of people, when they meet me, they probably don't think that I'm the type of guy who would be friends with a NHL hockey player. But I'm going to go on out on a limb and say that you and I get along better than you probably do with a lot of your NHL buddies, because I get along better with you than a lot of my comedian buddies.
Yeah, it's funny. I always like meeting people in this industry and that are like-minded, and I always find it's people are surprised that like there's a world outside of our own respective bubbles. So it's like, you know, with comedians hanging out, they're like, I wouldn't ever think to hang out with a hockey guy, and vice versa for me. We have, you know, guys are like, oh, who's your buddy? Like, he's a comedian or whatnot. And they're like, what do you guys talk about? And I'm like, everything else but hockey, which is like kind of what I look for when I'm not, when I'm not playing. So you're a breath of fresh air. And I mean, it's funny because you worked with my girlfriend, fiance, as of now, you're getting the breaking news. So,
oh, shoot.
Now with Jillian, yeah. So,
pew, pew, pew. Oh, that's amazing. I love that.
ESPN, yeah. So it's funny that we hit it off so well, but I mean, I love it.
Well, yes, we met because Jillian Muller, your fiance, and I worked together on The Crew. She's a fantastic actress. And you and I hit it off. We became good buds. You are Canadian, you're Québécois. I feel like I have a kindred. I'm a kindred spirit with the Québécois because they're the Europeans of North America in a way. They understand good food, good wine. Those are my people.
We do it all. We have a jazz festival, and you know, we have Just for Laughs, which you did. So it's like
Juste pour rire, exactly.
I mean, there's a great culture out there, especially food culture. So it's like it's fun to bounce that off people.
You guys do have an amazing food culture, which brings me to something that's a little bit of a shock to me, which is your Basic B fridge that you sent me. You guys can see Jason's Basic B fridge on my Instagram at StandupDan. It's actually not that basic. I'm giving you shit.
Oh yeah, it is. It just it makes me sick. You know, when I booked your time to do this podcast, we had like not sold our house and living in Arizona, and so we literally, I booked the time, we sold the house, we were like moving out. I was like, oh my God, I don't know where I'm going to be, if I'm going to have a fridge near me by the time we do the podcast. So I snapped the picture of this, and I mean, it's the saddest.
Okay, fridge. excuses. Although,
yeah,
here's the
all
thing.
Excuses.
There's something aesthetically pleasing about this fridge in that I don't think I've ever seen a fridge like this where it just has shelves that are not separated at all in the middle.
Yeah,
it's got a crisper on the bottom that's just uniform, one whole crisper. And it's a pretty large fridge. So it's weird. It gives off the vibe of those like little college fridges that we used to have, those tiny ones, but a big one.
Yeah, exactly.
So everything, it almost looks like a jewelry display case of food. The way everything is organized in here.
It's like those hotel fridges that you get literally, obviously without the crisper, but it'd be a nice hotel if you had a crisper in it. But I mean, it gets so chaotic too, because if you don't constantly reorganize, it turns into this where you got, you know, sauces in the middle. And
yeah,
I mean, there's not much method to this right here.
This is chaos. It's It's Mad Max. It's the Mad Max of fridges.
And that's kind of our life right now, just moving around. So it's a good, like, you know, it's good symbolism good for, yeah.
It's a good metaphor. Okay, so let's start at the top row here. So what I'm seeing, just very cursory, is you guys do a lot of Trader Joe's-ing. I see a lot of Trader Joe's greatest hits here. Top left in the corner, I know that that's a bottle of tahini, I believe.
You sure do. That is, yeah. Jillian is Trader Joe's, so where you go get Trader Joe's, and then afterwards you go to the grocery store to get everything else that's you need.
You get the produce outside of Trader Joe's. The produce of Trader Joe's is like, by the time it gets to your house, there's a fungus farm that has grown on it.
I would never get produce at Trader Joe's.
By the way, for those of you listening to this, you can't see this fridge, but this tahini was tucked away in the back left corner, backwards. So all you see is the nutritional facts, and I still called it. I mean,
I was going to say it's impressive that you got that.
That's some 10,000 hours. That's 10,000 hours of looking at people's fridges.
Yeah, you've been saying a lot. Too many.
I don't know what the second thing is here.
That's almond butter.
TJ's almond butter.
Yeah, that's TJ's almond butter. She likes making little toast and smoothies and stuff like that. Yeah. So.
All right. Next to it, we've got the already cubed
watermelon.
Watermelon. Thank you. TMI, everybody. But I had a colonoscopy yesterday, and the drugs are still kind of in me.
Really?
So, yeah.
How was it?
How was it? Well, I don't know if it's the right topic for a food podcast. But honestly, I don't remember. They give you these drugs. These drugs, I gotta say. This propofol made me understand why Michael Jackson needed more. I mean,
yeah, it's a slippery slope when you start. They're scary good.
Oh yeah, I mean, you're,
stuff like that, and the,
I keep forgetting. You probably as an NHL player, you're surrounded by people taking painkillers all the time.
I mean, did a couple myself, and also had a lot of surgeries where it's like they just dope you up, and it's like. I mean, I don't know what's in it, but
it's good stuff. It's so good that I forgot. I'm looking at a thing of cubed watermelon, and I couldn't think of the word watermelon.
Yeah, it's cubed watermelon from. It's. I don't think that's Trader Joe's. I think that was Whole Foods.
No, yeah, that's better than TJ's for sure.
Yeah.
Next up, we've got some sort of Trader Joe's sauce. Is that a Parmesan?
That's a Parmesan cheese. That's another Jillian.
I don't know what this is doing in here. Is this like a bag of popcorn?
No, I think it's like flour or something.
Flour. Okay.
It's one of those like she makes like healthy cookies using everything that's not no processed sugars, nothing like that.
Like a maple sugar. You guys do a maple.
Yeah, maple syrup. You know, monk fruit and stuff like that.
Yeah, all the hippie shit.
All the hippie shit, exactly right.
Once I hear monk fruit and jackfruit and all the leaves are calling. No, it's all the leaves are turning. What is it?
All the leaves are brown, right?
All the leaves are brown. I don't know, man. My head doesn't work. Okay, and then what are these two? There's like they look like Tiffany colored boxes in the fridge.
I think those are. She got this like Kratom drink, like Feel Free or something, and somebody gave it to her. Somebody that was starting this Kratom company, which is like, if you know what Kratom is, it's like big in Florida. It's kava and Kratom bars, where it's like basically these kava like relaxes you and puts you to sleep, but it has like a reverse tolerance. So it's like the first time you drink it, you don't feel it, but the more you drink it, the more it affects you. And then Kratom's like the other side of the spectrum where it gives you energy.
Is this a fucking, is it a drug or is it caffeine or what's
it's
happening?
It's a plant, like the Kratom plant. And then they, you know, like in certain tribes and cultures, they'll chew it because it gives them energy. And then people decided to throw this into like an elixir to give you energy, and they put like adaptogens in and all that stuff. But she took one sip of it, and it was basically a colonoscopy.
Oh, here we go.
She was like, never again. She's like, never again.
By the way, I'm laughing because you guys have all this hippie shit in your fridge, but when we go out, we're just downing cocktails, bottles of wine, like Mexican food, hearty Italian food, and then you guys go home and it's like all the leaves are brown And
we're very yin and yang in terms of like, we'll go, we like to swing both sides of the aisle. So we're like, we'll literally go full hearty Italian. It's like thick sauce. Like we don't care what we're eating. And then we'll go on a kick of like, we're eating super healthy adaptogens and
whatever the fuck, adaptogens are
and cooking every day. So it's like, we just like, our body's just always guessing what's going on. So
yeah, you got to keep them guessing, keep those intestines on their toes.
I have to.
All right. Second row, we got beef broth and maple syrup there. Very Canadian. Thank God. Always, representing.
Always need it. Always need a couple bottles.
Like, did you grow up, like, do Canadians just, like, constantly, like, is it, like, how Americans kind of have orange juice in the fridge? Like, do you guys just always have maple syrup in stuff?
Yeah. Like, and usually it's, like, the canned one. Like, I'm not sure where we got this one from, but, like, probably in the pantry we have, like, the canned one from Quebec. You know, I have buddies that have the sugar shacks there where it's the... basically just maple syrup farms and stuff like that. So it's a staple. I mean, it's so good. And it's hard to find like really good ones in the States, but Quebec and maybe Vermont's the only other place I would say, but Quebec's makes the best, just the best maple syrup. So
who is the psychopath who decided to nail a pipe into a tree and see what comes out?
It's so like intricate when you go drive up to these, because they do these like these sugar shacks, you'll go and drive into the woods and you're literally driving up and all the trees are tapped. Mm-hmm. And then basically you go have like a lunch in there with everybody. Mm-hmm. And it's like borderline the worst lunch you could have. It's just like raw bacon, like hot dogs in the water, eggs. But then they have all the maple syrup after where you go inside there. You have it in syrup form. You have it on the popsicle stick and you just like crush maple syrup. So it's like it's a whole day event, but it's just so funny to go. It feels like you're back. It's like very lumberjack and very old school.
What, so everyone has diabetes in Quebec, is that a thing?
Close to, yeah, or early onset.
eventually yeah. Maple syrup is gonna catch up to you.
Yeah, we'll get there. Yeah, but the pure stuff's like when it's not processed or anything, right, it's like super, you know, going to the nutrition side of it, it's very good for you. And it's actually a great natural, you know, natural caffeine, so to speak. It's like, it's a lot of hockey guys will drink it to rehydrate and stuff like that. So it's got more health properties than people think.
Here's the thing. There's a difference between maple syrup and maple water. I remember there was like a bunch of people who were making a push for maple water years ago to try to make it like the new kind of antioxidant-y drink, yeah, like pomegranate juice or whatever the hell. But I don't see it that much anymore. Is that a thing, maple water? I thought it tasted delicious. It was like super watered down maple syrup, basically.
Yeah, it's great. It's actually like a good, it was like the coconut water replacement for a little bit.
Yes, yes.
It is, yes. It is still big. Like you can find it. It didn't, I don't think it took off in the States as much as they hope, but in Canada, you can find it in a lot of places. But yeah, it's really good. It's so tasty and it's it helps with like hydration and stuff. So it's a good little product. But you know, the States, I don't really, it's more Red Bull and Monster out here. So it's
nothing natural, baby. We don't want anything natural.
No, you don't want that shit.
We want it made in a lab. If there ain't no lab involved, we don't want a part of it, bro.
As processed as possible.
Why is this raisin? There's a thing of raisins that is like literally front and center in your fridge. Like the light shines, like it sucks all the light of the fridge. Everything goes towards this little carton of raisins. Like who the fuck is first of all eating raisins on that regular of a basis that they needed in the fridge?
That's again, that's
Jill. You're throwing your fiance under the bus.
I sure am. Before she gets here. And I'm going to be like, you don't have to listen to this, hon. No, yeah, that's Sunmate. That has to be there from the 3 years before when we bought the house. So I think that's probably just been, that's a staple there.
Hold on, that's a 3-year-old thing of raisins that's hanging out in the fridge?
I don't even know what's inside of there. It could be like change. It could be like, I don't even know if there's raisins in there, to be honest.
We have a family of gremlins in there.
Yeah, exactly. The worst fungus and mold you could think of.
Okay, so you have two cakes behind there in boxes. What are these cakes for?
Was Jill's birthday. We got her. I got her carrot cake and then a red velvet cake, and then
we're two of my faves.
Yeah, she's a carrot cake. Like she loves it, and then she likes red velvet, and I like red velvet. So I'll get that more for myself.
Yeah,
and I think we're having people over that day, so we kind of had a bunch of pre-made ready stuff, the cakes and all that, but carrot cake is, I mean, a good carrot cake's hard to beat. Like a
no,
really
it's
good.
Impossible.
No, it's really good. She loves it. So
over here, you've got some pasta sauce. It looks like an arrabbiata of some sort.
It is an arrabbiata. Yes, we do make our own pasta, and we like to have pasta night at couple nights a week, or you know, once twice a week.
Again, Jason, I feel like I'm not getting enough props from you of guessing what's in your fridge. There's literally a jar with nothing except for the sauce in it, and I just nailed what sauce it was, and he just said glossed over it. Yeah, it's an arrabbiata, whatever. Like, dude, this is like high level Malcolm Gladwell shit going on right now. Okay.
On colonoscopy medication. This is like another thing for a show, is like a blind food guessing test where you just see jars of food with nothing on. You're like, yeah, that's pickled ginger.
I'm not normally this good. I wonder what if the colonoscopy what if the propofol is actually like turbocharging my brain? And now I'm just going to keep needing more of it to just stay on this level.
Yeah, I mean, they could possibly. I mean, they could have cleaned some stuff out in your gut. And then, you know, they say a healthy gut is a healthy brain. So,
yes, maybe that's it. I'm so empty.
Could have been it. They cleaned you out good.
my psychic food powers. Yes, exactly. I'm going to be a psychic food detective that they just have to keep. They have to keep colonoscoping me to make my brain work well.
You have to figure out a case to give you a colonoscopy.
8 p.m. on Fox. It's the colonoscopy detective.
What is it? The poop files or whatever?
Okay. It's a food podcast. There's a couple of words that are outlawed. The P word is not allowed. What is this over here in the CRISPR? There's something that is in a freezer bag.
That is actually like vacuum sealed. That was thawing out fish from Wild Alaska Seafood Company. And also, we also have a friend that he fishes up in Alaska, and he sends us all this vacuum sealed fish right away. So we get like halibut, we get sockeye salmon, and a lot of lingcod sent to us from them. So after the whole Whole Foods thing on the fish at the market, we're like, we're going to try to get as fresh as possible here.
Wait, what was the Whole Food thing?
Well, then they had some come out where like, there was like, I don't even know. I still like going to Whole Foods. So it's like, I don't want to be banned from there, but I thought they had things where they had like, it was like worms in the fish, or like, obviously you cook them out, or parasites or something. I don't know. This is turning into a detective podcast.
I mean, there's only one way I could figure out if there's worms in that salmon. Call my gastroenterologist. This is a case.
Episode one.
Yeah.
Whole Foods.
The column mystery. I'm thinking of a good name. I can't come up with it.
You brought up the other picture of my hotel. Because that's where I played this year. I had to live in a hotel for like 200 nights.
Oh, so this is another fridge pick. This is your hotel fridge.
Yeah. So
when you were living in Bakersfield?
Yeah. I thought it would be funny to show that like literally I had a 200 night stay in a hotel, and I just ate out every night. So like I did every restaurant possible of every kind, and literally my fridge was 0% Greek yogurt, these protein balls from this, it's like oats, honey,
Jesus,
chocolate chips. I tried to go as sad as possible for this podcast.
This is so sad. This is the saddest fridge I've ever seen.
It is.
I mean, the fridge is so small that the little tiny handheld water bottles have to be on their sides. I mean,
no, they don't even stand up. Yeah, I tried to be as depressing as possible to kind of show the darker side of pro sports.
I am curious. I'm always curious about this for athletes. Like, their diet. It's funny. The only other athlete I've had on the podcast was like a NASCAR driver.
And yeah, you had Blaney on. Yeah,
I had Blaney. And you know, no offense to NASCAR, I do think they're real athletes and this and that, but they're just pushing a fucking pedal with their foot. Okay,
I mean,
they're not getting. I guess what I do it every fucking day too, Blaney. Okay, no big deal. Okay, you know what I don't do every single day? I don't lace up my skates. I don't get into the ring. I don't get pummeled and also pummel and try to do this weird little skill of like putting a little puck into a fucking tiny net while I'm getting the shit kicked out of me. You know what I'm talking about? I race cars every day at a very, very low scale.
Is this more a little bit of resentment from the crew not getting season 2, 3, 4,
God damn you, Netflix.
I love that. I love that show too. And it's not because I'm biased, but.
No, I did too. I still meet people when I'm on the road who will come up to me after the show and they'll say that was their favorite show of mine that I've ever done. No offense to Cobra Kai or Disney's kicking it, but the crew has some diehard fans. But you know, as a pro athlete, I imagine hockey players aren't as finicky with their diets as like I would think like swimmers are, or like, you know, like I imagine you guys are so of the people that I can't imagine you counting your fucking macros, but maybe I'm wrong.
It's like recently the past 5 years, like, you know, I was lucky enough, like I kind of caught the old school of NHL when I started 15 years ago, where it was like you finish practice, you go have 10 beers and you eat a meal, a drunk meal, and then you go to sleep and then you go play. Whereas like now it's like guys are very like, I learned coming through also the past 15 years that the older you get, like the diet has to change and get better. But like there's a lot of guys, like the new young generation athletes are like, I mean, they count everything down to like the time they eat, you know, exactly what nutrients they're getting in and certain foods. Like they stay away from foods that like, cause you can get blood tests now that'll tell you like what foods work best with your blood type and your body. So they get all that done. And
oh man, what a bummer. They're ruining it for everyone else.
It's cause then you're like sitting there and you're like, well, I have to do this now, cause otherwise I'm going to suck and they're going to be way better. So it's like, you have to like kind of jump in. I was kind of different when I started playing too, because we go on the road, and when you go on the road, that's the best time kind of, because all the guys will go to eat a dinner and you get it's so overly gluttonous. Like guys order the whole menu and then they just eat whatever they want. But it would always be like guys would just go to Morton's and Capital Grill, and listen, they're great. You get a good steak there, Ruth Chris, but like,
no shade.
I started like getting into like gastro pubs and like and different kinds of food. So I'd be like, does anybody want to go here? And guys are like, no, we're going to Capital Grill to get the bread basket and then the steak with mashed potatoes and asparagus or something. It was like every time. So I started branching out and I'd find like one or two guys and we'd go to this little like hole in the wall spot, little different kind of food and more shareable plates, but like everything's like gastro pubs and things like that. So
like interesting stuff that was more local to the place that you were at.
Everything like farm to table, and like I loved that. So I started like kind of expanding with that, and then you know I'd get a couple guys that would come and they'd love it, and even the new guys, the younger kids, they still kind of go to the same spots. But when you kind of find that guy, it was great. Cause you'd be like, where are we going tonight? You'd be researching all the restaurants in like, you know, Denver. And you'd be like, hey, where are we going? Are we going to go to this little spot? It's like 20 minutes from the hotel, but like, it's like 10 tables. It's farm to table. It's like this great local. So I really got into that.
I remember when I was on the road, that was the best thing. That's what I loved about it. I mean, but I was just a one man show, so it was easy. I could go wherever I want. I imagine you were getting some guff from the other hockey players who were like, oh, you going to that fucking Ethiopian restaurant tonight instead of coming to the Capital Grill, you fucking little bitch.
You don't want to hang with the guys? Like, I had a lot early on where I finished your book. Great book, by the way.
Thank you.
I had a good time reading it.
Undercooked. You can purchase it wherever you purchase books.
But when you're talking about in LA, you used to, you know, drive 10 miles from your house, walk back and kind of do like a tapas style, and you'd find little restaurants. And I do that on the road. Like I would drive out 10 minutes to the little part of downtown, and I'd literally hit an appetizer at one spot. Me and a buddy of mine that I played with, we'd be like, let's go get an appetizer at this restaurant. And then we're going to go across the street because I heard this place is great. And we'll go have like dinner, and then we'll maybe get a dessert. So we'd like ask guys that played on other teams, like, oh, what do you like in the city? And then if the restaurant choice sucked, we'd see him on the ice the next game. It would be like, you piece of shit. Like, that's where you eat dinner. They're like, that's where you eat dinner. Like that greasy restaurant. So it like became like a funny joke kind of for us around the league and just trying to be more conscious of like, cause I mean, you get to go to all these great cities, and I'm like, I'm not knocking a Morton's, but I try to stay away from the chains as much as possible.
That's kind of, again, not knocking on the chains, but there's something of the novelty of, you know, what is the cool little place that people go to? I was just in Sacramento. I had a show there and did a little digging, and there's a Michelin rated taco place, one Michelin star taco
really?
Place, random little place that was so unbelievably amazing. Did not expect to get this. And it was like between Sacramento and Roseville. Like it's out in the middle
like
of
not
nowhere.
Even, yeah.
No, it was very cool.
We just talked about the other day, like when I kind of got in all the restaurant scene, and you know, me and Jill were, you know, be together for a long time. So I kind of got on a binge of like, I want to eat at the top 50 restaurants in the world. And that's like my thing. We're going to travel around that. And we did a bunch of great spots. But we were talking about the like one Michelin star is like kind of the sweet spot, because three is like too much.
Yeah.
And then two, it's like, well, you might as well not even be in that, you know, you're kind of settling into two, but it's like one, it's like these guys that like found a great niche and they're just like,
yes,
happy with what they got. But like, we kind of got on a binge of that, but one, we were talking about that, like one star is kind of the sweet spot.
Yeah. I just posted recently about a restaurant I went to, Moonrise in Dubai, that was a one star fantastic meal. And I think I wrote in it, one star is a sweet spot. And you responded to that. You're like, hell yeah.
So we were
one star. I agree with you. I think three star is way too over the top. I think all the two stars want to be three stars. And I think the one stars are comfy where they are. They kind of have their thing. And they don't want to do what it takes to be a three star, which is just like just adding tons of bells and whistles, basically.
It's so much stuff that doesn't have to do with the food at that point.
Right.
Like I find the one star is like the food, and then you kind of get into like the hosting and the serving, and then it's like pacing of the courses. I mean, you go to a three star, you might be there for 5 hours. And
yeah.
I mean, I'm all for a fun dinner with friends for 5 hours, but can't do that every day.
Too fast, too furious. You and I have a couple of very, very, some of the funniest food stories that I have. And food and drink stories are with you and Jill. But basically, the first one was you guys happened to be visiting LA when I had to write my Grub Street diet. So I was like, right, I was taking meticulous notes every day. And I always, when Jason and Jillian come to town, I do whatever I can to avoid them. Okay. When we go out, it's just too much. And it takes like 3 days for me to recover. So I'll make excuses. Oh my God, I got a colonoscopy. I broke my leg. All these things that you see on my Instagram are all fake. They're just for me to avoid Julian and Jason. But I felt like I forgot that we made plans, and it was like solid plans, and we had to. And I was like, I can't get out of these. And we had the funniest. We had the best fucking night.
That was great. It was great.
And it made it into the Grub Street diet, which I thought was so fun.
We loved that. We were like laughing. We're like, oh my God. Like we had such a good time too. It was awesome. Just all the rules you have at dinner and you know, how you have to order. It's phenomenal. You really have to drink to get over all the rules you have at dinner. But it's,
oh my God.
But I appreciate it. I really do.
Everyone who's eaten out with me is listening to this and like, they're like, preach.
I was like, Joe, do you remember the checklist? Okay, am I wearing the right? Did I walk the right way? Did I move the chair wrong?
come on.
When I texted you that night, I was like, for context, I was like, oh, show me the best spot ever. But I was just like messing because like we just wanted to hang out with you. And then you were like, hey, we're going here. Actually, scratch that, we're gonna go here. And then we're like on the way, you're like, change the Uber. it's next door, we're there, and then walk three steps, say, you know, say this password, and then you're gonna go another. It's so funny. We were just like, Jesus.
Well, you know, I always feel a lot of pressure to come correct when people from out of town come in. So yeah. Like we got to the first couple restaurants, and there it wasn't the vibe that I was looking for. I was like, this is not gonna be cool, it's not gonna be fun, I need a little more action. And we settled on Angelino Osteria, which is as classic a staple, you know, Italian as you can get in LA. And we had so much fun, and we brought two bottles of wine from the cellar.
To the cellar,
which brings me to the next hilarious story, which was I was having a barbecue at my house, and you guys were in town, you guys came, and there were like, I don't know, eight of us there. And we were drinking so much. We kept saying, to the cellar. So I try to go toe-to-toe with Jason when we drink. And Jason's a 200-pound NHL player. And yeah, I'm an effete little man.
I mean, you do well. I could, but I mean, don't dance with the devil. We have a lot of training.
No. So we kept keep running down to the wine cellar and taking out God knows how many bottles of wine we had. We were so drunk, and I get a call from the Laugh Factory because I live down the block, and they're like, Dan, emergency. The next comic is not here, nor is the one after him. The host is flailing. We need you to come ASAP. Can you please make it? And I'm like, I got you. And they're like, thank you so much. And one person wasn't drinking. I don't remember who it was, if it was a non-drinking friend or a pregnant friend or something. I don't know who it was, but we all basically got into a clown car. Like one, like I think, was I in the trunk or you were in the trunk?
No, somebody was sitting on the baby seat. There was a baby seat in the car.
Yes.
And we're like, what's this baby seat's doing here? And then we're like,
it was like, shut up, get in, we gotta go. We pulled up in front of the Laugh Factory and just like, left the car like illegally parked in the front, all got out, like eight of us from this one car, and basically came in, and the guy was like, please welcome Dan and Dude. And you guys should know this. I have a rule. I take my craft very seriously. I have a rule where I will never have one drop of alcohol before going on stage. I don't care if my show's at 11 p.m. I'm not having a drink at dinner. It's not even one glass of wine. I was two bottles of wine deep. Probably.
A minimum. And I think we were smoking a cigar too.
Oh, yeah. We were smoking.
Jill just mentioned it to me the other day. Or she's like, you have to talk about that story. She's like, that's one of the coolest things I've seen, because she loves like stand up comedy. Like she'll go all the time to, you know, in Phoenix at the stand up live. She'll go by herself and go watch. Like she loves it.
Yeah.
And for her to like see that was like, I mean, it's thinking like it was like normal, like, cause I remember after you finished the set, like we sat down, we like, you went up on stage and then we like all ordered a drink, or like, we're like, are we ordering a drink? We keeping this going, thinking like it was going to be like 2 hours, but like you know, you crushed your set. It was hilarious. Maybe you should drink more before. It was great. Then we were back at your place and it was like, we're sitting there like, what the fuck just happened? Like that was insane. Like we're all sitting there like, no, we're fine. You won't have to go on today. Then I was like, everybody get in the car, pile in. And I mean, it was a great day. That was awesome. That was awesome.
We went, I did the set, and then we just got back in the car, went back to my place and kept the party going. But it was, there was one slur I had. I remember I slurred one, not a racial slur, an actual slur.
Yeah.
I actually slurred. It was, and I remember where it was. It was when I talk about Food Network shows, and it was like, the line was a live rabbit, a hammer, and three sprigs of dill. And I said, a live rabbit, a hammer, three sprigs of dill. Oh my God. I knew in my head. I was like, fuck. That was the only tell, I think, though, that I had. I think I kept it together pretty well.
To be honest, like, I mean, I'm no expert on stand-up comedy, but it was hilarious. And maybe that was the, you know, the three bottles of Cote d'Iron, Beaujolais, expensive French wine that was making it funny. But it was like, I mean, we loved it. It was great.
Maybe we left and the whole club was like, where did that cavalcade of drunkards just come from? Who just ruined the show? No, it was a fun show.
The host came up and was like, "Well, that just happened." God! But we thought it was like this great day, but it's just you up there, like
hammered in another. We were all on the same level. Yeah.
Maple water, also known as maple sap, is the clear liquid that flows naturally from maple trees during the early spring months. It has been consumed for centuries and has a rich history tied to indigenous cultures in North America. Legend has it they observed squirrels biting into trees and drinking the liquid that came out of it, so they did the same. Native tribes recognized the nutritional value and used maple water as a source of hydration and sustenance. Once settlers arrived, they started drinking that delicious water as well. But you know those pesky settlers, you give them an inch and they'll kick your ass out and cook down your water into syrup. That's the expression, right? They discovered that by boiling maple water, they could concentrate the sugars and create a thick, sweet syrup. In fact, it takes about 40 gallons of cooked down maple water to make just 1 gallon of maple syrup. The water was all but forgotten until coconut water brought it out of retirement. It's got all the same buzzwords: electrolytes, hydration, micronutrients, yada, 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 and it's half the calories of coconut water. Plus, it's frickin' delicious and half the carbon footprint. I've said the word half a lot of times.
Okay, before we finish up here, I gotta get to the questions. You know the questions because you're a fan of the pod.
Yes, these are
questions that I ask every guest, starting with, what is your earliest food memory?
I mean, my earliest food memory is, you know, I'm from Montreal and my dad always had, it was either pizza night, which we had this great pizza place. He would know the name of it. It was like unbelievable old school Italian pizza place with like the biggest pieces of pepperoni and a place called Dakari Hot Dog in Quebec, that in Montreal, that if anybody knows from Montreal, Dakari Hot Dog has like the best hot dogs and fries, and it's this little
still
place.
There.
It should be still there, and if it's not, it closed for health code violations. But it was these unbelievable hot dogs that we would go on occasion, and that was like one of the, it would be like after a hockey tournament. My dad, that was like one of my earliest memories. When my brother played before me. Mm-hmm. You know, when we're really young, he'd be like, "Hey, we're going to Dakari, you know, don't tell your mom," and we'd go and, you know, have a hot dog or fries or a burger, and it was like awesome. So good.
Awesome. What is your death row meal? So let's think of a reason that you are on death row. Okay, how about you are touring? Is that what you call it when a team is on the road?
Yeah, you're playing on the road.
You're on the road. All your teammates want to go to Capitol Grill. And you're like, "Guys, there's a vegan restaurant called Angela's Cassava Hut. We gotta go to Angela's Cassava Hut." And they'll start laughing at you, and you just can't handle it anymore. And you grab one of those blue cheese stuffed olives that they have from their Morton's Martini, and you just start shiving them with
right in the jugular, eh?
Right in the jugular with the toothpick that has the blue cheese stuffed olives on it. Now you're on death row. What are you going to eat?
It's like the most Americanized Tex-Mex version of Mexican food, but I would have probably a full on fajita bar of everything you can think of with the whole nachos, all the fixins, like just a full on, like kind of like a Tex-Mex style thing. I used to, you know, when I started cooking, my mom taught me, and then I was alone and I was like, "What's the quickest thing I can cook?" Because I, you know, you'd be so tired from hockey all day, and it would always be like a fajita bar. I'd chop everything up and just make three kinds of meat and then just put it all together, and I just crush as many fajitas, tacos as possible, hard shell. You'd end up making the gorditas and like the whole thing. So it would probably be that as my death row meal. And then the biggest decadent chocolate cake on the planet, all Godiva, Ferrero Rocher, all mixed together in a cake.
just a garbage plate of a chocolate cake.
Yeah. Just as much chocolate as possible. All the fanciest kinds.
I will say this is definitely the first time on Green Eggs and Dan that anyone has ever said a Tex-Mex buffet is what I want on my death row meal. You're a man of the people, Jason. Most people are like, I want a dry aged ribeye. I want some foie gras. I want this. No, you want a fucking buffet at Chichichacha's.
Yeah, I'm going more for like quantity and just like salt intake and sugar intake, just like all the dopamine rush I can get over the actual richness of the food. I just want to like satisfy every craving that I have or will ever have because I'm dying instead of like sitting down. Because I mean, listen, don't get me wrong, having a nice ribeye from Alexander's in Cupertino with foie gras on top and a twice baked potato with mushroom, like I just saw you doing the oyster mushrooms.
Jason, you can't. No, you can't.
No, but
flex
I'm not.
Now,
I don't want that. I'm text.
You
back.
Are
I'm
getting. You're getting the strip mall. Fucking been sitting
the Chipotle.
Out.
Chipotle. I don't like Chipotle style, but maybe like Wagyu fajitas.
No. Too late. You're getting right, the shit that's been sitting out. You know, on the buffet under the heat lamp.
the refried beans or whatever that are just
the chimichanga, the 7-Eleven chimichanga that's rolling around.
Exactly.
Wait, and I cut you off. Was there something after the chocolate gangbang cake?
Yeah, probably a nice digestive and a cigar, probably.
There you go.
We just had a wedding in Greece, so I really got into Chipotle and Mastika. So it'd be probably one of those.
Yeah. Mastika is really fun.
It's good. And Chipotle is like the Greek version of whiskey, and it was incredible. It's like clear.
Really?
It's really good. Yeah. You know, we're in the cab with one of the cab drivers, obviously, and we're going to a restaurant. We're like, oh, what do we order? What's like the, you know, national drink here? And he's like, well, he's like, Mastika, if you're a woman, but he's like, the men, we drink Chipotle. And I was like, all right, I mean, we'll try it. And it was like very smooth and like not strong. So I was like, I don't like what's above this, but I guess it's like 40% alcohol. So it gets you where you need to be, but it's delicious though. Like it's very good. You'd love it.
Yeah. The Greeks, man, they're coming up in the booze world big. Like Greek wines are becoming, I mean, they've been making wine forever, but I'm saying on the national scale, you're seeing a lot of Greek wines that are really delicious. Making their way on every wine list. Their famous red is something called Ginomavra, and their famous white is something called Assyrtiko, which is like probably one of my favorite white grapes. Actually, I had Assyrtiko for the first time at the crew. Sarah Stiles brought some in. Oh my God, it's like so salty. I love it. It's like a super salty wine. It's delicious.
They're weird Santorini, and we had so much red wine from there, and I loved it. I thought it was great. It's very
good stuff.
It's very light. It's a lot of light. It's there's nothing too like over the top robust, but it's like very light and fruity, and it's airy. It's great wine, especially with the food you're eating there, and the food was phenomenal too. There, it's awesome.
So speaking of phenomenal food, what's the best high end meal you've ever had?
I mean, probably when I'm going through all the stuff, because we were chasing those like top 50 restaurants. I mean, Martin Berasategui in San Sebastian, Spain.
Oh, you went there?
Yeah, we went there. It's like he lives upstairs. We have a picture with him. I mean, another place that it was like food heaven. Like I would go back there once a month because just every restaurant there, the pincho bars are incredible. And then we went to Berasategui and it was like, I mean, they rolled us out of there into the taxi and home.
Wow.
It was like a food coma, and we did the, you know, the wine pairing. It was like, oh, I mean, we were about as gluttonous as you can be at that place, but it was like a 15 course menu, 4 or 5 hours. And
yeah, that's supposed to be one of the best. I'm so glad you had that because I had one of my worst fine dining meals in San Sebastian.
Did you?
Yeah, at Mugarit. I don't know if you went there. I hated it.
Yeah, we didn't go there. You talked about it, I think. In your book, you talked about it, right?
Yeah.
Well, I read about that because I was trying to think, where did you went to San Sebastian too? Yeah, I mean, we loved it. We didn't have a bad meal there, but we didn't eat at that one spot.
All right, what's the best low-end meal you've ever had?
I feel like everybody, you know, you were saying it on your podcast, a lot of people come and say, because if you've been to Thailand, you know, having all the curry in Thailand and Pad See Ew and all that we had was incredible. I mean, that was probably the best low meal for like, it was like $5. But the funniest, like, undercover. I think it was just great because the novelty of it. We were in Tokyo and we went to see a sumo wrestling match.
Amazing.
And we're like, what do they eat? And they eat this, like, it's called the chankonabe. And it's like, I hope I said it right. It's basically just like a one pot with like boiled meat and like vegetables and this broth. And they get like super huge on it, which makes no sense because I'm like, how'd you eat that? But it was like really good. And I was like, this costs like nothing to make. And it's like so like satisfying.
Chankonabe.
Yeah, and I think I got it right. I'll text you the full word of it after. I hope I pronounced it right. I probably didn't.
If you'd like to cancel Jason for his pronunciation, it's at Jason Demers. What is your favorite drunk food? I know you like the sauce.
Favorite drunk food is probably, I'm from Quebec, so poutine's one.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, shish taouk is my other one.
What's that?
It's like a shawarma plate with like heavy garlic sauce.
Yeah, shish taouk.
Mispronounced again. Yeah, sorry.
Shish taouk. Yeah, if you guys, again, if you want to cancel Jason.
Yeah, I'm white.
Yeah.
I apologize for everything.
That's fun. Yeah. So like doner kebabi type thing or.
Yeah.
That's kind of my wheelhouse too. I like that. By the way, you just made me think of one of my favorite low-end meals that I haven't thought of in a long time because we were talking about Spain and San Sebastian. I did a road trip there and we would go into like truck stops and they'd have tortilla española that they'd be cooking there and you'd have a slice of it. And it was
so
the
good.
Best fucking thing you've ever had. And it was so cheap.
That was in San Sebastian?
No, it was like on the drive from Barcelona to San Sebastian.
Okay. I mean, there's so many low-end meals when you go overseas because, I don't know, there just seems to be a lot more available in terms at those price points.
Yeah.
Like I can talk about it all day. Like we had kushari in Egypt and I thought it was incredible. Mm-hmm. Kushari. Again,
Again, Jason Demers at Hotmail.
I'm butchering all these words. I'm that guy. And when I go overseas trying to speak the language and they're like, sir, just order the water. Say you want a water. Like, stop trying to say it in whatever language.
What is that thing you were talking about?
Kusari. There you go. I think I got it. It's basically like, it's like their street food, but it's like this pasta with tomatoes, all these spices. It's very simple. It's like a macaroni pasta, but they have, you know, chickpeas. They have everything in it. Mm-hmm. And when we went there, somebody's like, you have to eat it. They're like, we eat this breakfast. You put like hot sauce on it too. And it was like, it was so off the charts good. And I hate that I loved it so much because I was like, it looks like something like a 5-year-old threw together. But it's like so incredibly good and flavorful. And they have, you know, all the spices and but it was great. It was really good.
Did you have ful when you were in Egypt? Ful is like it's a very popular sort of a bean dip. It's like a bean
like the fava. Yeah. Like we had their bean dip. Yes. Yes. We had that. It was like, I mean, we ate so well there and when we were going there, we're like, what are we going to eat? Like, are we going to like it? And everything was so good. The kofta, like all the lamb I had out there too. It was incredible. So it was good.
Yeah.
Really good.
What is your favorite hangover cure?
My hangover cure is and will always be Thai food.
Mm.
If we're really hungover, me and Jill, it's like no question, it's Thai.
Love it. Same.
Yeah, Jill's a big Pad Thai fan. And I like the peanut curry Pad CU. So that's like what we eat. We just like as much salt as possible.
I might have a Pad Thai after this podcast.
I just said that and I was like, God, I want some Thai.
Who's your favorite celebrity food personality besides Dana Dude?
You're up there, you know. You're definitely up high on that list.
I appreciate it.
I mean, I feel like everybody probably says Bourdain. He was I loved him, but I came up like when Gordon Ramsay was hitting, like I love Gordon Ramsay, and I got to act, but when I was with the San Jose Sharks, we were on Kitchen Nightmares. They invited us out. He was doing a show in San Jose and he invited us out, like 8 of us, to come eat at the reopening when they do like the reimagining of it.
No way.
Yeah. So we got to meet him and I got a picture with him years ago. And he's like exactly how he is on TV, but like such a nice guy, like just very straight to the point when he's talking to you. But yeah, it was so funny too, because like it was off camera, but he like yelled at us. We watched the episode after. So he's like, hey, whatever you do, he's like, the prime rib. He's like, just get the prime rib. That's all I'm telling you. Like, everybody order the prime rib. So we're like eight guys and we all order the prime rib. And one guy's like, oh, I have like the salmon. You know, just somebody went off.
Yeah, off script.
So he like, the orders go in, the server leaves, and then it's like, maybe like a minute later, and he comes like flying out and he's like, who's the fucking asshole that ordered the goddamn salmon? And the guy's like, and he's like, I fucking told you, prime rib. Like, you know, just the way he does it. It's so funny.
Oh my God.
And then we like cut to the show. We watched the show, and like the girl that was cutting the prime rib was like cutting two big slices, and they're like running out. So literally, like, they show the clip of us, like, coming in and us all ordering the prime rib. And then she's like, oh, no, we might not have enough. And he's like, are you joking me? So, like, worked out well. But it's so funny that we and I, like, watched all the shows coming up. And I love
Kitchen Nightmares. I think it's a wonderful show.
Yeah, it kind of started all that stuff. It was great. And he's a great guy. And I've always been a fan of his.
Yes. This is not sponsored by Hexclad, but I do have a couple Hexclad things, which I think is his line. Not bad. Not bad.
No, not bad at all.
So what is your desert island food? You're trapped on a desert island. One food you're never going to get tired of for the rest of your life.
I mean, it would probably, like, if I never get tired, I don't have to worry about anything. I'm on a desert island. I'm probably dying anyway. So it's like, it's almost a death row meal, but a lot of repetitive questions on this.
Well, this is that's a very cynical take on desert island.
Well, I can.
That you're going to die anyway. No, you're not going to die. You're going to live forever on this desert island. And you have one food that you're never going to get tired of. Jeez, that was the most glass half empty way to read that question.
I know. Just drink the water, right? There's water. Just drink it. Yeah. I gotcha.
You're like, it's going to be a cyanide pill. Yeah. That's all I'm going to have on my desert island.
I'm drowning myself, so that's it. Probably desert island. If I can only eat one thing. I mean, honestly, that climate, I mean, it'd probably be Mediterranean. Like, I would just eat, I'd eat Greek. I'd eat tzatziki. Till it's coming out of my eyes, and I'd have Greek salad.
You don't get a whole breadth of cuisine. Sorry. You don't get like, I'll just have Asian. Cool.
I wouldn't get tired. Would be like a shawarma plate.
Shawarma, wow. Yeah, I just had one yesterday. That's the best.
Did you? It's so good. Yeah. So good. But yeah, it'd probably be shawarma. I wouldn't get tired of it. Every day. Have a little coconut on the side, you know. Do I have coconuts?
Yeah, that comes with the desert island.
All right. Okay, perfect. One coconut tree. That's not bad.
Not you. You get maple syrup water. You don't get coconut water.
I get maple syrup water. Yeah. And the video of your colonoscopy on repeat every day. Yes,
exactly. you're gonna be begging for death row.
Exactly.
Is there a food that you can't stand eating?
I don't really mess with shrimp at all. Like, I don't, I don't know why. I never got into it. Don't like it. I've had people, I see the shrimp cocktail, which a lot of people order. And it never interested me. I mean, I'll cook it. Jill will have it a lot and she'll eat it, but does nothing for me. And it's not even like, I see it and I'm like, I'm good.
Yeah, I get it. I wouldn't lose any sleep if I had to give up shrimp forever.
I got started doing oysters and stuff like that because I wanted to kind of start expanding the broad scope of eating now that I'm...
The palate?
The palate, yes. But no, shrimp, I don't think I'll ever be able to get on board with it.
Shrimp, there's something just very... There's the pageantry of going into a steakhouse and being like, hey, let's get a couple shrimp top cocktails for the boys.
Yeah, I know. It'd always be like, oh, let's do the seafood tower. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, okay, yeah, the lobster and the shrimp. And then I'm like, it's great. Yeah, look, this lobster is huge. And there's the cocktail sauce. I'm like, it's great.
I love a seafood tower so much.
Yeah, I know. It's so nice when it comes in with the dry ice and all that. But yeah, it's never done it for me.
All right, we're up to the last question, which is, as you know, my favorite question. What is or are your restaurant pet peeves?
My restaurant pet peeve is probably no matter... I don't like when the servers try to memorize the order. I just think bring a pad and bring a pad and paper. Cause like, to be honest, I don't know who started this, what restaurant owner or what person complained so many times on Yelp, or like they said that the server needs to memorize the order because that makes the restaurant look cooler. Right. And I mean, when they get it right, it's great. You're like, oh wow, he memorized it. Thank God he did his job. But then if it doesn't work out, you can't get mad because, you know, they're being told a certain thing, like you have to do this. But it's just like, just take the pad out, write it down. Cause I might ask like, hey, can you put this on the side? You know, I want my steak this way. And then if it's not that way, it gets me every time.
Yeah.
And I try to just be like, okay, it's like you said, it's the pad and trip, the whole experience. You're going in and it's like, oh my God, the server just remembered 30 items. But it's like if you're like four or five people and you're going, and like we went to the Italian place in LA, like we ordered quite a bit of things.
Yeah.
And even some things you're like, hey, can you keep this out? It's not worth it when you miss. So
it's not worth it. And even when they don't miss, it's like, I was nervous this whole time that you were going to miss. Why'd you do that to me?
You're like cutting your steak. Like, please, gosh, I just hope you remember that I wanted it medium rare. That's me. That's medium. Yeah. It's just don't do it. If you're listening, you're a restaurant owner or a server, take the pad out.
Even if you're going to still memorize it, just pretend like you're writing on the pad. So that my mind's at ease. If you want to use me as your little memory exercise during the night to work out your brain, fine. But don't let me know about it. Just get your pen. Don't click it so the ink isn't out, and just write some fake shit on your pad.
Well, the thing that happens too is you kind of watch them when they leave the table and they go to the monitor to plug it in, and then you'll see them be like,
oh, and the worst is when they run back and they're like, wait, like, what, you guys did want the pasta? Yes, we wanted the pasta.
Yeah.
Got it. I gotta run quick
before I forget it again.
He's just whispering the word pasta as he makes it back.
Yeah, because I was wondering too if like before it was automated and it went right to the back. This guy's running to the back and yelling to the chef, or is he yelling to another guy like broken telephone? Like one pasta, one short rib, one, you know, one beef Wellington, go stat. And then the chef's got to memorize it, or he writes it down and he goes in the back anyway. So
I don't know. They do it. Anyway. None of that. That's all magic to me, how they do that.
Yeah. That,
that sorcery makes no sense to me.
That's probably my one. And then do I have any others? Listen, I find when you go to a restaurant, you're putting your life in it's such a hard industry. Like you're putting your faith in somebody you've never met to handle your food. Yeah. So if you're going to complain about the way it's made, I'm like, you kind of stepped into this agreement. I know you're paying money for a service, but it's also, you expect a level of standards, but you know, mistakes happen. So it's like, I know I've been with people that'll lose their mind if something's not cooked right. And it's like, send it back. And if you need to, but like, it might've been a bad order.
So this pet peeve is more against the diner who basically takes things way too seriously in a restaurant.
Yeah. Because you know, the onus is on you to make a good order also.
This is being pointed at me. I feel like this is being directed at me. I feel like I'm being attacked.
I'm a little triggered, and I figured I'd attack you. I think, like, as an orderer, like, I think you could make a bad order at a restaurant. It's there. I think the customer is not always right at the restaurant, I don't think. Not always.
We've been doing so well, Jason, and now we're going to end on us agreeing to vehemently disagree.
Oh, give me your take on it. I want to hear it.
Well, I think if a menu item is listed on your menu, then there should be no bad order. Like, it shouldn't be, the onus shouldn't be on me. You should, if there is a possibility of me ordering badly, well, you should remove the things, the roadblocks that make that possible.
Don't you think, like, a lot of restaurants, like, does the chef have complete control over the menu? And is he like, because I mean, you've worked in a restaurant, like,
yeah, 100%. Yeah, it's the chef's thing. It's his whole vision.
But you know, there might not be like, the owner of the restaurant might not be like, I want you to put this, like, I want you to put in the beef tartare. And he's like, I don't want to make beef tartare, but it goes in anyway. And then he's begrudgingly making it every time somebody orders it.
You've watched way too much Kitchen Nightmares, Jason.
I have way You're like, too much.
What if it's the father-in-law who owns the restaurant and the son is beholden to him because he doesn't want to get a divorce, but the wife is going to...
I like to make like little, you know, TV shows when I walk into a restaurant just because I've watched so much Kitchen Nightmares. I'm like, what's the story with this server? Like,
it's so
you know,
funny.
Who's he sleeping with? You know, so it's too much reality TV.
Huge supporter of that show. Jason, this was as delightful as I knew it would be. Please, I'm sorry it took so long to get you on the show. I'm glad, though, that it took this long because we have... We collect a lot of fun stories under our belt to tell the people.
Yeah. I mean, I've been pushing you for this for like 2 years.
Yeah.
And you're probably sick of it. Like,
yeah.
And I comment on all your cooking stories to the point where you're like, bro, can you stop blowing up my Instagram?
Once that dead cat showed up at my doorstep that was spray painted green, I knew exactly that it was time. So here you are. Please don't kill any more animals.
I won't. It was already dead. So,
Jason, tell the people where they can find you if they want to cancel you.
Oh God, I can see if I remember my handle. I think I'm on Instagram at Jason_Demers. If you want to follow me, sure. If not, that's all right.
So Canadian. It's okay if you don't want
yeah,
it. Don't worry
it's
about
okay.
it.
I'm sorry. I try to stay off the socials as much as possible. But
there you go.
I feel like now retiring, I need to like up my game. So,
oh, yeah. Get on the socials. It's a very fun waste of your brain.
It's such a fun waste. But I mean, I got to start posting some. We got to get together and do like a cooking one after this as well. Cause,
oh no, you see now this is going to be a new cavalcade of dead animals showing up at my door until we do the cooking video together. Here we go. It just got, the clock just got reset.
It's you are on the clock right now. You will be hearing from my people and they'll be getting in touch. And then Jill will be texting me like, I'm so sorry. He's nuts.
I love it. All right.
Thank you, pleasure, man. Thank you for having me, by the way. It was awesome.
Of course.